Why does a company have a product line? Very simple example of why should companies be divided on product lines? First and the foremost thing, when you have a product line, the logic of the product line is to create products that cater to several segments in the same market. Product lines create advertising economy, which means Lux can be advertised as Lux, and then you can have different variants of Lux or different types of Lux being sold as a product line. Or you can have soaps being advertised as a single product line, and you can have different types of soaps within the product line. You have packaging uniformity. You have standardization of either components or the manufacturing process is the same, which creates economies of scale for you. The sales and distribution channel typically for the product line is similar, and therefore you are able to offer a higher variety to the channel partners to stock and sell, thereby increasing their interest in your product and their profitability. And finally, it becomes easy for the customer to evaluate from a quality perspective, because the customer will not go and evaluate one single product. He will stand by the entire product line that you have. A product line will have a product length, width, and depth. Now, the product width typically refers to the number of product lines that an organization offers. So again, if you have soaps, you can have solid soaps and you can have liquid soaps, and they could be different product lines. You can offer shampoos, you can offer face creams, you can offer hair creams, and therefore all that becomes a different product line that the company is offering. And the number of product lines that an organization offers is referred to as the product width. Now, typically, organizations will increase the width of the product mix to increase the offering to the market, B, to cover more segments of the market, and three, to sell a line of products, a bunch of products to the same customer so that to get a higher wallet share from the customer. So you typically add width to improve your wallet share with the same customer. Now, a product line also has a depth, and this refers to the number of products in a specific product line. Now, for example, if you are manufacturing, say, soaps, and you have 10 different types of soaps, then that becomes to the depth of the product line. Now, firms typically or companies typically will increase the product line depth to attract buyers, to create economies of scale. They will attract buyers in different segments of the market. They will create economies of scales. They will be able to offer sales promotions and offers, and they will also have what we call out of season sale. They will even be able to cater to out of season sales patterns. So that's what you mean by product line depth. Then coming to other characteristics of managing products, the thing is product modifications. Now, once you have introduced a product in the market starts accepting the product, the market starts using the product, a customer typically develops what we call product fatigue. After seeing the product consistently for many number of years, he gets bored or fatigued by seeing the same product. In which case, a product manager within the organization handling that product or a brand manager in the organization handling that brand may go in for product modification in the form of quality modification or a functional modification or a style modification. Now, quality modification happens either because the requirements of the customer have increased, or it can happen because of competition bringing in higher quality products, or it can happen because of legal factors. So, for example, in the automotive industry, due to global warming, the government has said that all cars should, have engines conforming to first what we call Bharat 1 norms. Now we have engines conforming to Bharat 2 norms. And then by 2015, we should have all cars conforming to Euro 3 or Bharat 3 norms. So that's a quality modification that is happening in the engines. About decade and a half back, all cars used to have engines which were carburetor based. Today, all cars have engines which are MPFI based. MPFI stands for multi-point fuel injection engines, and that quality modification has already happened. You don't get carburetor based engine cars anymore. The second product modification that can happen is a functional modification. So, can we add more functions to a specific product, or can we add more functionality to a specific product? So, we have, for example, soaps coming in with cream. Now, soaps are typically have a drying effect on the skin, and most people, then apply a cream to prevent, the skin from demoisturizing. So today you are getting soaps like Dove, you're getting soaps which have a combination of, which have moisturizers added to them, which is creating what we call a functional modification in the product. And finally, you have style modification. Now, style modification can happen in terms of packaging. You can change the packaging of the product to look better, to make it look more attractive, to make it look more stylish, or to make it more convenient. Or you can create specific categories of product with different styles, which happens in the automotive industry. So you do have automobile manufacturers bringing in cars which are styled differently. You will have what are called limited edition cars coming in, or you may have sports versions of cars coming in, which are nothing but style modifications. You will also find, for example, a car manufacturer saying that this is a 2010 model, and you will find another model which comes in 2011, which has, the headlights or the grill or the seating upholstery change, which is nothing but a style modification. The inherent engine of the car or the technical parameters of the car have not been modified. Only the external cosmetic changes have been made to create a different style. Repositioning happens or involves changing the customer's perception of a product. There are products which are launched with a specific purpose, and we have found many times certain products may not be successful in the market. And therefore, an entire line of products may be withdrawn from the market and repositioned either with a new name, packaging, advertising, or a new positioning statement in the market. A very good example of that is Milkmaid. Nestlé's Milkmaid was actually launched in the Indian market as a tea whitener. However, it did not succeed as a tea whitener, and it was therefore removed from the market and relaunched as a dessert topping. It finally became very successful as a dessert topping. So this is typically a repositioning strategy which a product manager may decide on. Then you have product line extensions. Now, this is the logic of product line extension is to add products to an existing product line so that you can compete more effectively in the market. You can meet the competition's newer offerings more competitively. Now, this has happened to a lot to Maruti. Maruti has gone on adding a lot of products in different product lines. So, for example, Maruti started with the 800, and it also brought out the Omni. It also brought out the Gypsy approximately a year after the 800 and the Omni were launched. The next product that Maruti brought in was the Maruti 1000. Now, the Maruti 1000, when it was launched in the Indian market, was considered to be a luxury car. Now, after Maruti 1000 came in, Maruti launched the Maruti Esteem and the Zen. Now, this is nothing but product line extension. Now, the Maruti Zen and the Maruti Esteem actually resulted in the cannibalization of the Maruti 1000 to such an extent that Maruti had to stop the production of the Maruti 1000 over a period of time because the Zen and the Esteem ate into the sales or reduced the sales of Maruti 1000 over a period of time. So this is the strategy of product line extension, which is typically you add more products either to cater to more segments in the market or to fight competition more effectively. Then product line contraction typically is done if you have too many products in the product line and some of the products within that product line are not doing too well or do not have a sufficient market share or do not have a critical size or revenue from the market to justify it continuing as a separate product. Now, you contract product lines or reduce the products from your product line if you have low sales or if you have slow moving products or if you have product obsolescence. A very good example of product line contraction will now happen in the color television industry. The color television industry is sitting at a point of change with LCD televisions and LED based televisions becoming the norm. It is expected that over a period of time, the color picture tube based or the cathode ray tube based color televisions will be withdrawn from the market as this product is getting obsolete in its usage. Let us now look at a very important concept in marketing called branding. Most people associate branding with advertising and communication and not with product management. However, in real terms, branding is actually handled by the product manager, and the communication part of branding is the visible side of branding, which most of us tend to associate with, and hence we associate it with advertising. Yes, to create strong, large, powerful brands, one has to advertise very aggressively, but still the branding is in the domain of the product manager. Now, what is a brand? Brand is nothing but a name, term, sign, symbol, design, or a combination thereof, which identifies a company's products and services and differentiates them from that of the competition. And branding is the process of using the name, term, symbol, or design to identify the product in the marketplace. Now, there are different parts of a brand. So you have a brand name, which is the verbal part of the brand that can be spoken. It could be either letters, words, and numbers. So for example, Dettol or Unilever or Ayush or Ujala or Suzuki or Honda. This is the part of the brand that can be verbalized, which is called the brand name. Then there is a symbolic part of the brand, which only includes, which may include the word, symbol, or the mark that are legally registered for the exclusive use of the company, which are called trademarks. So, for example, Honda has a mark. Mercedes has that famous triangle, which is a trademark of Mercedes. So, these are registered symbols that are used by the organization and which are protected by legal copyright laws, and only that company can use it, which has the right to using that trademark. Then there is a service mark, which is nothing but a trademark that refers to a service rather than a product. So this is the component of the brand. You have a verbal part of the brand, then you have the symbolic or the marks, distinguishing marks of a brand. Now, what are the branding objectives? Why do companies spend so much of resources, time, money in creating, maintaining, and sustaining brands? Now, brands create, I mentioned earlier that a customer gets two types of benefits when he buys a product. He gets a functional benefit and he gets an emotional benefit. Now, the emotional benefit in most products, or most consumer products at least, is provided by the brand and the value of the brand in the market. The value of the brand rubs off on the customer who uses that brand, and that is why brands become valuable within the market space. So branding creates identification of the product or the service in the market. Branding encourages repeat sales. Branding ensures easy introduction of a new product. So if you are an established brand, if you are a well-known brand, a another product launched under the same brand name or by your brand ensures the success of that product in the market. Branding also encourages widespread availability. It creates penetration in the market. It encourages more people or customers to use that product. It creates economies of scale. And finally, results in higher and better price realization for the organization, thereby improving the profitability. So these are the objectives for which branding is done. There are different levels of brand familiarity with the customer, identified from the lowest level of familiarity to the highest level of familiarity. So if you look at the lowest level of brand familiarity is brand rejection. This is a situation in which the customer does not want to associate with that brand for whatever reason. It is called a dissociative brand. It is not something that the customer wants to have or become a part of. The second level of brand familiarity is brand non-recognition. This is a situation in which you have created a brand, but the customer is not able to recognize the brand either because there are too many competing brands in the market or he does not see a distinct value in the brand that you are creating, or he doesn't see a distinct differentiation between your brand and other competing brands. So this is brand non-recognition. This stage of brand familiarity is better than the stage of brand rejection. At least the customer is neutral to your brand. He doesn't have an adverse feeling towards your brand. The third level of brand familiarity is brand recognition. This is a phase or a stage where the customer is now able to recognize your brand amongst all the competing brands in the market. He knows what your brand is, he knows what your brand stands for, and he understands the brand promise to some extent. So this is the brand recognition stage of brand familiarity. Then you have the brand preference. Now this is a stage where you have moved the customer higher in the learning curve for the brand. And now the customer has started preferring your brand over competing brands, which means you have now become the brand of choice for the customer. This is a very good spot to be in when more and more customers prefer to use your brand or have your brand. And finally, the last stage of brand familiarity is what we call brand insistence, where the customer has reached a stage and understanding with the brand that he does not want to use any other brand except your brand. He insists on using only this brand and nothing more. The last two stages, the brand preference and the brand insistence, happen because of high customer satisfaction, high customer delight, and create what we call brand loyalty. The last two stages also encourage repeat purchase of the product, which is what an organization typically wants the brand to deliver in the long run. Now, the brand name, the right type of brand name definitely helps. The characteristics of a brand name, so that it is easy to remember and easy to understand, are it should be extremely short, simple, and easy to understand. It should be easy to spell and read. It should be distinctive so that it becomes comfortable or easy for the customer to recognize the brand. Can be pronounced in only one way, always timely, and is legally available for use to the organization. So these are the characteristics that a good brand name should satisfy before the organization can go and use it to create a brand for itself in the market. Now, what are the different kinds of brand that you can have? The first type of brand is what we call manufacturer's brand. Now, these are brands that the manufacturer or the producer of that product or the originator of that product has created. See, these are brands owned by the products. These are brands which are national brands. These are brands which could be international brands, and they develop demand across many markets. So examples of manufacturer brands are many. Sony is an example of a manufacturer brand, or Panasonic, or Honda, or Mercedes, or Unilever are all examples of what we call manufacturer brands. Then we have what we call dealer brands. Now, dealer brands are brands that are created by the channel partners or the distribution chain to create their own distinct category of products in the market. So they are typically created by middlemen. In the retailing industry, they are called private labels. And private labeling by organized retailing is a very distinct strategy which many retail organizations follow. So for example, Big Bazaar has a category called Food Bazaar, and you do get Food Bazaar range of branded food products in Food Bazaar outlets. If you travel to UK, you will find in Tesco a number of consumer products branded as Tesco with the Tesco private label. Now, typically, these brands are created by these retail organizations so that they can get higher margins for themselves and also create a distinctive category of customers who prefer to buy these brands than national brands. So these are typically called dealer brands. Then you have family brands, licensed brands, generic brands, and individual brands. Now, what is a family brand and an individual brand? Now, family brands are brands which are owned by certain families. Licensed brand are brands that you license to other organizations to use. So, for example, if you are creating a franchisee network, which a company like Pizza Hut and McDonald's have done, what they have done is they have allowed the franchisee to use their brand as a part of the licensing arrangement. So these are licensed brands. And then you have individual brands. These are brands which are individual in nature. And you typically create this brand for each separate product. So this is something which Unilever has done. So Unilever has a family of soaps, and it doesn't have one single brand of soap. It has Lux, it has Dove, it has and so many other brands of soaps within its category. Now, the individual branding is the practice of using a different brand name for each product within the company's product portfolio or product range. Now, why you create individual brands is when the products differ greatly in their use or in their performance, or they are targeted at different segments of the market. For example, Nestle has brands like Milo and Maggi and so on and so forth. A company that markets several products under the same brand is using actually a brand family. So you will find, for example, many B2B organizations using a brand family. So you have a Siemens or an IBM, you know, creating or using the same brand as a brand family. Another important aspect of branding is co-branding. This is typically when two large brands come together. Both are well known, both are distinctive, both are understood by the market, and the two companies bringing the two brands together do not wish to dilute or compromise on the use of the brand name in any way. So it is placing two or more brands together on the product or the package to create another brand in the market. Now, this identifies the brand that makes up the product. It also gives the added benefit of the two brands coming together. Cooperative branding or co-branding is used where two brandings either receive equal treatment from the market, have equal recognition in the market, and both have their own brand equity, which is important for the customer to make brand choices. Now, co-branding or complementary branding is where products are advertised or marketed together to suggest usage in a similar way. So you may have complementary branding advertising happening between an airline and a hotel chain, where the airline and the hotel chain are coming together to market a holiday destination to you. That's called complementary branding. Moving away from branding, let us look at one more important element of the product, which is the first P of marketing, which is the packaging. Now, packaging is a container or an external additive for protecting and promoting a product. Now, typically, there are four adjectives that describe packaging. Your packaging has to be convenient, it has to be attractive, it has to be informative, and it has to be tamper-proof. Four adjectives which describe packaging for what we call a consumer product. On the other hand, the packaging of a B2B product or a business product has to be what we call utilitarian, which means it should protect the product from the elements of nature, and it should be forklift, crane, or hoist friendly. So these are the adjectives which describe the packaging of a B2B product. Now, packaging can enhance the overall value of the product to the customer because of its attractiveness. It can also enhance the value of the product because it makes it convenient for the customer to use the product. Packaging sends a message to the customer. It also creates an image about quality. Packaging also reduces distribution costs because packaging is designed to make transport and storage of products easier and simpler. And unified product codes, UPC, finally improve the logistics and the handling of the product because of the packaging. So packaging has all these advantages. Product quality, another element of the first P of marketing. Now, the product quality and customer needs. Product quality means the product's ability to satisfy a customer's need, requirement, or want. Now, typically, product quality can be absolute or relative, in the sense that there are certain products where the absolute quality is a must. So, for example, if you're looking at medical products, the quality has to be absolutely very high because you're looking at a hazardous area, or it can be relative. In certain categories, the product quality could be relative. Customers, because they have different needs and wants and different requirements of satisfaction, you may bring out products of different quality to satisfy different needs of the customers. Finally, coming to the end of the session and summarizing the key points that we have discussed, the customer never buys a product. He buys a bundle of benefits and a bundle of satisfaction. A product can be classified as a consumer product or a business product or a service. There are five product levels that we discussed. Brand is nothing but a term, sign, name, symbol, design, or a combination thereof that identifies a company's product and differentiates them from competitors. There are two types of brands. You may have a national brand or a private label. Co-branding is the practice of bringing two brands together on a single product or a package, and used when both the brands are of equal importance or of equal value in the market. Packaging enhances the product value and protects the product. And finally, the product quality. You may have products of different quality to satisfy different needs or requirements of the customer at different points in time. Thank you.